Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Are you the one who is to come? What an odd question from John the Baptizer. It was sent to Jesus by a group of John's disciples. For John was in prison and could not get to Jesus himself. You can be reasonably certain that this question was John's own question, and it wasn't just for the purpose of teaching his followers about Jesus. And that is where the oddness begins. For John was a relative of Jesus. He was the one Jesus came to at the Jordan River to be baptized. John was the one to whom God revealed by the Holy Spirit the identity of Jesus as his son. John was the one who pointed his disciples to Jesus, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was John whom Jesus included in the us of his words, "It is necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness." John was the promised forerunner of the Christ, the Messiah, spoken of by the ancient prophets. And he knew it. Did he really have to ask? The answer is yes, he did. When John was baptizing at the Jordan, one of the key features of his ministry, of his preaching, was that the coming one would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He prophesied that the Messiah would conduct the great work of separating the wicked from the righteous, hence the winnowing fork illustration. In his mind, there should be a definite element of public judgment performed by the Christ. And John's context lends to his doubts. He was in prison unjustly. He had publicly preached against the public sin committed by Herod. Furious that anyone would publicly berate him, Herod threw John into prison. And Jesus had done nothing about it. Wouldn't the bearer of the winnowing fork of judgment lambast Herod for his iniquity and set John free? Why would God's anointed allow this great injustice? And why was God's anointed spending so much time with notorious sinners? Jesus' behavior did not fit the mold of their messianic conceptions. In John's mind, there was all sorts of room for doubts. But he had not given up. To get answers from his relative, from the man he baptized, on whom he had seen the Holy Spirit descend as a dove, John sent his disciples. In our minds, we have all sorts of room for doubt, too. A heavy snowstorm dumped on the victims of a fierce November tornado. A gunman killing innocent people at a high school in Colorado. Economies struggling to survive. Churches fighting to keep going and still maintaining their integrity. Victims suffering more than their offenders. So, Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? You took on our human nature, lived perfectly, died innocently, and rose victoriously. Yet injustice continues. Loved ones get sick and die. Family members fight. Parents divorce. Church members join other congregations. Are you the one to come? Jesus answers the question to John's disciples with the evidence. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus was doing amazing things. Miracles were happening left and right that had never happened like that before. Who else could do such amazing things? Jesus' words to John's disciples pointed John back to the scriptures as well. Included in those scriptures is the passage from today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The answer to the question, are you the one who is to come, is yes. Yes, Jesus is the coming one. He is the Messiah, God's anointed, the Christ. His message to John then is to have faith. Trust me. What I am doing is the very kingdom of God, the reign of heaven here on earth. These things might not make sense to you now, but they are still in my control. I know what I am doing. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I have the power to do so because I am God, your God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as you yourself have said, dear John. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And what of the judgments? What about the winnowing fork and the unquenchable fire? The answer to that is the cross. The cross must come first. That was God's plan. That was His plan all along. His Son would come as the Messiah to the full and to be the full and final payment for all sin. His death would be the culmination of all deaths. His resurrection would show forth God's great power, even over the power of the devil. All of this world's wickedness, every disease, every murder, every abuse, every injustice has its answer in the cross. Christ Jesus has borne it all in Himself. All sin is judged damnable on the cross as Jesus, God's own Son, hung there to make satisfaction to God the just. All sinners are then judged righteous by God because of that Son of God on the cross. It is those who refuse that work of Christ, those who trust Him not, that will be separated away from Jesus and will receive the unquenchable fire. In our minds, we have much room for doubts, but that is on us. That is our fault, not God's. For he has done everything needed to secure forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for all people. God himself has given up his own Son for the sake of his sin-filled creation. There should be only one result of God's great gift of Jesus to the world, and that would be faith. And yet man's sinful pride will not let God be God. And of that pride, we repent. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We agree with Genesis 6:5. Every inclination of our hearts has been only evil from the beginning. Only by God's grace are we saved and our sins forgiven. Secured in the ark of God's great church through the waters of baptism, we await the day of judgment, the day when our Lord Christ returns. And on that day, we, with all the saints, the baptizer included, will witness our Lord with his winnowing fork in his hand as the judgment is brought down on the nations. All injustices will be ended. All tragedies will cease. Those who have rejected the Christ will stand alone before God, who will then judge them guilty of all sin because they have not believed in his only Son. And we, who belong to the Christ, will stand secure in him as his righteousness covers over us. And God our Father sees only Jesus when he peers on us. Until then, we wait with quiet minds, repentant hearts, trusting that God's will is done in all things, as he longs to have all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Until then, we endure the ups and downs of this life, trusting that the end, and thus the Christ, is truly near. The one who was to come has come, and he is coming again. Rejoice, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.